We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Coastal News, Home and Away podcast. This is our first look episode. And this week, I'll let you know in on a little secret. I went to see Madame Tellerina from EastEnders. And I asked her what she thinks is coming up on Home and Away this week in the UK. I was like, Madame Tellerina, tell me what's going to happen on the bay this week. But basically what she did was she just necked a few bodies, started howling and barking at me. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to stick to the normal formula. I'm just going to read the episode synopsis out. So that's what I'm going to do. And as always, I'm joined by Si. Hello, Si.
Hello. Sorry, yes, that's me in the background. How are you? Are you okay?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it was a pointless trip to Madame Tellerina this week. I thought she was going to, you know, channel her crystal ball or whatever. And yeah, tell me all the gossip, but she just kind of started barking at me and howling.
Barking cat, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, well, do you know what? We'll just read the synopsis out. Yeah,
that's fine for us, isn't it?
That'll do. Yeah, But before we do that, don't forget, listeners, our main weekly podcast episode was uploaded on Saturday morning, we discussed all the drama from last week in Summer Bay. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that. It's before this episode on your podcast app. But if you want some spoilers about what's about to come up this week on the show, then you're in the right place, because we're going to look at the sneaky peek ahead to the episodes that will be airing on Channel 5 and 5 Star this week in the UK. But before we do that, we have a game.
Oh no.
The game is afoot, and the game is, can Si remember or guess the episode number of the next episode that we're going to watch on Monday at 5 Star at 6:30 p.m.
Right, I think I can. I panicked then because, as always, I forgot that we asked this question.
Yeah, I know, me too. I always forget.
I'm rapid, like, the cogs are churning. So, last week we were 8152, something, 2, 3, 6. I've got
how many fingers you got on that hand?
And then, yeah, we got one hand, second hand. 8,157.
Oh, 8,157. Let me just put that in the little machine. It's thinking. I have a decision. Correct!
Yay!
8,157. Have a Prosecco.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your Prosecco. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Monday, 6:30 on 5 Star, we have got...
I've redeemed myself. Week.
You have redeemed yourself, definitely. To start the week, Felicity makes a heartfelt plea to Tane.
Well, I can't complain because I've been calling for it.
So. You have, actually, yeah. I haven't. I'm like, I think he needs some time out.
Yeah, you said he needed to get away, didn't you?
I think he needs some time out because I don't think he really... I think he's still really angry, and I think whatever he will say will be... a reaction rather than a, you know, how he actually feels. I think he's burying his head in the sand, he's shagging all these other women. I think he needs to just take a step back and think, is this over? Is this definitely over? And if it is, he needs to communicate that to Flick, but I just don't think he's there yet.
Yeah, and that says heartfelt plea. So is she sort of begging? She's begging him. Do you know what I mean? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah,
it might not be what I'm imagining it should look like.
Please talk to me. I think it's just going to make him even more ugh. You know what I mean? I think it's just, it could backfire massively.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. Okay, following on from that, we've got Dana. What's her name?
Clark. Yeah.
Dana. No. Who is she? Dana. Why was it Dana?
Because
I'm reading it. Dana. Dana connects with...
I'm with you now. Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, the one with the curly hair. Dana connects with a former colleague.
Is this Levi fella? Does she know him?
Maybe. Where did she used to work? Did she used to work in Abbey Creek? She was at the in. They keep saying in the city, don't they? Does the city mean? Was that Sydney?
The city's not Abbey Creek. Yeah, the city.
Sydney.
Yeah, but obviously they never name it Sydney, do they?
No, but that's the city, isn't it? I think Abbey Creek's not a city, is it? It's a town.
No, yeah, that's just like the nearby big place.
Yeah. Maybe Levi is a colleague from the city, then.
We're assuming Levi, unless there's another new nurse knocking around the hospital. It's going to be him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Is there a history there, then, I wonder?
Ooh. What did you make of Levi? First impressions?
Very nice, yes. Very nice. Isn't it?
Really?
I don't like the tash, but in the... this is very shallow, first impression. it's not said much. Let's just go off what it looks like.
I was going to say, you haven't got much to go on, so I think it's just how he looks and how he talks is all you can go
in
on.
In a lot of the promo shots of him, he's not Tash.
Yes. So. Okay. Interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about him at the moment.
Say, what's your first impressions? He's coming a bit cocksure, hasn't he? Like, I'm the heart doc.
I'm the heart specialist,
the cardiac something or other, but he's a bit cocksure, isn't he? But I guess you're allowed to be if you're at that level of your career.
But is he though? Because he looks like a 12-year-old, because I was when I looked at him I was like, hello Doogie Howser, like he's like a 12-year-old doctor. Maybe I'm showing my age here, but
I don't think he looks that young.
Oh, he looks young to me. I was like, that's that mustache that you're talking about is bum fluff. It's right. just nothing substantial. I don't know. He's not my type, I'll be honest. He's not my type. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about him.
Okay.
Fair enough. How we feel. First impression. Maybe we will change our opinion of him when we see him.
We always change.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Oh, gosh. This is interesting. Has John burnt a bridge with his only ally? Is his only ally Irene?
Or is it what's he called? The silent character who works at the surf club?
Gerald. Maybe.
It was part of this complaint.
Oh. Or is it Alf, Mr. Stewart?
It could be.
They're not allies, but they are colleagues, and they do have each from a colleague point of view. They have each other's backs, don't they? I wouldn't say they were friends, though.
No, and if he did fake that phone call the other day, Mr. Stewart would be like, "You're him in Drongo."
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, Harper lends an ear to Tane.
Oh, of course she does.
Is that all she lends?
Yeah, Mega Slug.
I'm sure she'd like to lend... Mega Slug. I'm sure she'd like to lend a few more body parts to Tane if she got her chance. I don't see this ending well. But anyway. Justin receives a worrying phone call.
Who does?
Justin receives a worrying phone call. Who could it be from?
It could be his daughter.
Oh, yeah, it could be anybody, couldn't it? It could be
the Reefden Lakes drugstore saying that their wife's banging, his fiance is banging the door down.
true.
Torian can't come to the wedding that's happening
The wedding on the Valentine's Day, which for us, if they mean this year, is in exactly 2 weeks.
Which is uncanny, which is just scarily
but obviously I'm guessing this is the Oz pace, so if they're talking about Valentine's Day 2024, this would have aired before Christmas, wouldn't it, this scene?
Yeah, so it'll have to be our June Valentine's Day.
It's a movable feast, apparently, Valentine's Day.
Well,
I'm so shocked that they've actually mentioned a date. Not like that. I'm actually shook that they mentioned a calendar date. You know, normally they say like 2 weeks time or on your birthday, which is vague, or, you know, on the date, on our first date.
Pierce the bubble.
It's really weird that they've said on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day throughout the whole world is the 14th of February, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
It's really weird that they've mentioned a specific date, isn't it? I find it really...
And we're at different paces.
Yes.
In different hemispheres.
And in different years, because I think Norway's a year behind us still.
They're a bit behind. Oh, is that Belgium? Either way, like, it's not going to make sense anywhere.
Apart from Australia.
Why Home and Away has this bubble world of endless summer. It always takes place in the summertime. It helps. I mean, it's not always been like that, but it helps that sort of universe exists in a parallel time, doesn't it, where the summer never ends. Yeah. And we don't talk about that. So that's
What is going on here?
Why have they broken that?
I don't know.
That rule.
Super weird.
I think this is further evidence that the wedding isn't happening. So nobody needs to worry.
Well, you foreshadowed last week, didn't you, about the engagement ring being put down on the book that said a month of Sundays.
Oh, I was so proud I spotted that and you didn't.
I went and had a look and I was like, oh, he's so right. This is so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love these little Easter eggs.
Yeah.
So maybe this is another clue that it's not actually going to happen. Because we'll remember, if they do get married on Valentine's Day, next year, February the 14th, we're going to be expecting, you know, some mention of it, not on the February the 14th, but 3 months, February the 14th plus 3 months, because that's how far we're behind most of the time. We're going to be expecting some acknowledgement of that date, because we know now the calendar date for this wedding is the 14th of Feb.
Yeah, listen, writers, you're getting out past us.
Mm.
So...
Yeah,
you know.
it's not exactly 2 weeks' time. It's not exactly 6 months' time. It's not your birthday, which is a bit vague.
Yeah.
Because we don't celebrate birthdays, really, in the Bay. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Justin and Rose fear for Leah.
Do you think that's related to the phone call, then? Do you think?
I don't know. It could be, couldn't it? Or it could be the sleepless nights and the drugs and the...
I'm gonna put it out into the world again. We want a sleepwalking like Mia. I know we said it.
It was good. Yeah. We need to see something.
Leah in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the highway. In her silk purple pajamas. I am quite jealous of those pajamas. They look really nice. I want those silky pajamas. They look really comfy. John is having a week, because we had John earlier saying he's burnt a bridge with his only ally, and now we've got John reacts to the surf club's verdict. So he's been to like surf club court, by the sounds of things.
The complaint, isn't it?
I think so.
Is he gonna lose his job?
I hope not.
We're gonna have John and Cash at the Dole office here on suspension.
John, Cash, Harper, who else? Half of Lyric.
Put it this way, he's not paying $4.70 for a coffee.
Okay. Eden worries for Cash's career. Eden worries for Cash's career. Yeah, because he didn't turn up to his hearing, did he?
I wanted to talk about this a little bit. So Eden and Cash as a relationship. So I feel like we've neglected them a bit. I feel like we need to get back to them and find out what their relationship's like. We don't see much of it anymore. We've seen lots of Eden with the band, and we've seen lots of Cash with Flick and Work, and Irene and all that, but we're not seeing much of Cash and Eden like having a life together. And that makes me nervous.
Yes, yeah. Is that another possible breakup on the horizon. Not sure. Because I guess with all this strain from Felicity, where they're both caught in the middle of this, really, aren't they?
But what are Cash and Eden doing together, really?
Just existing.
We need to see more of them.
He's suspended, and she's basically a struggling musician, isn't she? So she's, I don't know, apart from the odd pizza, and we haven't seen a huge amount of them. She was picking out his tie last week, wasn't she, for the hearing that he never actually went to. She was, you know, going through his wardrobe, going, this tie, this suit jacket, you'll be fine. But then he never went. And then apart from that, it's just been like, do you want pizza from Salt? Yeah, okay, I'll down with that. There's not been a huge amount for them, really.
They're always doing something separate.
Yeah. She's with Remy, isn't she, a lot of the time? Don't know. Okay, I'll keep an eye on them.
I don't like it.
Felicity shows remorse. What for?
Well, God, how long have you got? That's interesting, though.
Tarnay?
Sounds like she might be turned some sort of corner, eh?
Well, she's got a lot to think about in terms of how she's been treating people. I'm not saying she hasn't been hard done by herself. There's been loads of things that have happened to her that I don't think are cool. I think a lot of stuff has happened to her that's not cool. But remorse, she could be remorseful for how she's acted towards Tarnay. She could be remorseful for how she's acted towards Mac, Cash, Eden, Xander. She's bit Xander's head off a few times. You know, there's a few people that she probably owes an apology to. As much as she is hurting herself, she's taking it out on everybody else that cares about her. It's difficult to know, who it would be aimed at. Justin and Leah reach a crossroads. Oh dear, that doesn't sound good, does it?
No, that doesn't sound good at all.
No, decision to be made. Crossroads.
Yeah. Or are they lost? On the way
they've been kidnapped again. On the other side of the road.
Or are they watching telly and the theme tune is bow 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 bow
bow bow bow bow bow bow. Oh yeah, they reach a crossroads with crossroads. I want to watch the next episode. No, I'm going to bed. There we go. That could be it. Don't do do do. I don't know.
It's going to be swathes of children listening to this thinking, what are you talking about?
No children will listen to this. There's no children listening to this podcast. We're not that cool.
Let alone know what crossroads is.
Don't know. Bit vague. But then the next line. Oh dear. Must be related to the crossroads. So it says Justin struggles with Leah's decision.
Oh my God. I'm a bit, I've got him on edge now.
Yeah, what she decided, it's about the wedding, isn't it? It's about the wedding.
Yeah, the wedding's off.
She's having second thoughts. She's going through all this trauma.
She asked him when he was dying. So
she did, but she keeps seeing this. Like, when we see the flashbacks in her head, we keep seeing Justin flatlining, essentially, don't we, on the hospital bed. Or him dying in the factory, and she's climbing up them rungs that we laughed about. Because it's not really funny, but it is still funny. She's climbing up the rungs, and she's going, I can see the lights! And he's, like, dying and bleeding out on the floor. But if we put ourselves in Leah's shoes, not ours, to where we find it hilarious, she's seen him die almost. Like, when you think about Leah's backstory, Leah is the Black Widow of the Bay. She's used to losing husbands, isn't she? But she almost lost somebody who was her very, very new fiance, because she'd asked him, like, he was dying, and she was like, oh, you're going to marry me? And he said yes. And then they went to the hospital, and she almost saw him die in hospital. And, like, she literally gathered her family around the bed and said goodbye to him, because she was told by Bree, this is the end, you need to say goodbye. She's gone through all that trauma for someone she hasn't even married yet. And she knows that everybody she has married has basically perished in some horrible way. So you can kind of understand that her brain is processing all of this trauma that's just happened and all the trauma that's previously happened. And then there's decisions about the wedding and when's the date and what are we going to do? And I can see why that she's struggling with this, can't you? Because yeah. I'd be thinking, he almost died, but now I'm going to marry him. And what if he dies again? I can't deal with it. I almost lost him once. What if I lose him again? What if this happens? But next time, no Dr. Bree there to bring him back, you know, miracle.
I'm sort of coming at it from the angle of forget the proposal, like just looking at Leah on her own, in her own right.
Yeah.
Like I said yesterday, on yesterday's episode, there is no way we could have something so bad happen to her again and not mess her up.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know, because she's assured Justin multiple times now that she wants to go ahead with the wedding. It's, you know, the whole death thing made her see that she should have done it anyway. It wasn't just a deathbed slip of the tongue type caught up in the moment. You know, she's even planning it, setting dates, like they're going ahead with the planning, like, but is it all just a distraction, you know, and from what's really going on with her? And I'm worried that she sort of led Justin into this false sense of she wants it. It sort of mirrors the Tani and Flick thing, really. He wanted to marry her and she didn't. And he settled and said, right, then we won't. And the second that she said, let's do it, he's like, okay. And now I'm a bit like, if she turns around and says now, no, like, how is Justin going to accept that at this stage? Given that he's nearly died, you have a different outlook, don't you?
You do, yeah. But I genuinely think Justin would accept whatever. I think he would be happy to go with whatever Leah wanted to go with. I don't think he's a Tane. I don't think he's a, I want to get married, and if we can't get married and have kids, then we can't be anything. I don't think he's like that. I think he just wants to be with her, and I think he genuinely was happy to be in a relationship with her and never get married and just stay as they are. Because he just wants to be with her. I think the problem here is that she's almost lost him. And now she's terrified that she will actually lose him for real. And maybe there's a correlation between her marrying people and her losing people. And she's realizing that this was a mistake. I don't know.
Well, we know there's definitely a correlation there. So
there is, isn't there? Yeah.
Maybe she's trying to save him if she does call it off. We're surmising. But yeah. Maybe this is her way of saving him.
Yeah. Don't know. And then we've got Eden learns her brother is in the bay. Now, I've seen a spoiler about this, so I know who her brother is.
Her brother? Now, Eden, did you say Eden?
Yeah. Do you know this?
No, I don't. But this is very, very interesting, because we're hearing things about Remy's parents. Now we're getting Eden's brother, did you say?
Yeah, so Eden learns her brother is in the bay. I know who the brother is. I've seen the clip.
Eden's story is the one we want to know about.
It's the grew up in a funeral home. Yeah, story.
Hello, let's hear more about this. So,
I want to hear that. We got one line in an episode about a year ago where she said, I grew up in a funeral home. And I was like, what? And it was never mentioned again. And I thought, this is the most fascinating thing I've ever heard on Home and Away. I want to hear more. But yeah, Eden learns her brother.
So there's a brother. I didn't even know she had. So, okay.
Yeah. I won't spoil it. And then the last line for the week is Levi is a rock for Mackenzie.
Hang on a minute. The brother's Levi, isn't it?
You're too freaking smart.
The next word.
I wasn't going to tell you. But yes, spoiler alert. Eden's brother is the doctor.
Okay. So the doctor's grown up in a funeral home as well. And he's doing what for Mackenzie, sorry?
He's a rock for Mackenzie.
Oh. He works
He's meant to be saving her life, so do you imagine?
I was gonna say.
He is a rock for her.
I would hope so, yeah.
Because he's meant to be fixing her heart, right?
Okay, so it's no coincidence he's being drafted in to help Mac's heart. He's got links to the bay. He's sticking about, isn't he?
Thank you for listening. We will be back with more episode discussion from Summer Bay soon. Until then, join the discussion online at Coastal News Pod.